Hey, it's Trevor Grant. Welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. In today's conversation, we talk with Stephanie Smith, founder of Cogwheel Marketing, and Connor van der Holm, co-founder of Topline Revenue. In this discussion, Stephanie and Connor look specifically at Hilton-branded hotels and ways they can drive demand. Some of the ideas could be applied generally, but our guests do reference technology, which is Hilton-specific. With Stephanie's experience in digital marketing and Connor's background in revenue management, we aim to reflect both sides of the commercial equation when we look at three core areas. Firstly, how to target leisure business right now. Secondly, how to prepare for negotiated business. And thirdly, how you can take advantage of Hilton's systems and other technology. It's important at this stage that we do put out a disclaimer. Neither Stephanie or Connor work for Hilton. They do not represent Hilton, and all views and ideas shared are just their own opinions. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Hi guys, good to see you again. Stephanie, thanks for joining us. You well?
Doing awesome.
Excellent. And Connor, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks, Trevor.
Doing well. Good. Excellent. Look, really appreciate you guys coming together, joining us on this webcast. Now, in terms of the focus, we're going to get really sort of practical. This is a real down-to-earth tactical tips focused on Hilton-branded properties. I guess there's some broad general advice that could apply to anybody that's listening to it, but you're going to be talking about specific technology, specific initiatives that are going on being driven by the Hilton brand. So just probably useful to get that out there. Probably see a load of people now drop off watching the video because they're not in a Hilton property, but we can save everybody the time if they're not. Anyway, before we get started into the content, Stephanie, you and I have done a couple of these. Connor, we haven't before. So just useful, really, if I can pass it over to you guys to just give us a brief introduction on each of you. Stephanie, if we can start with you first, that would be great.
Sounds good. So I'm Stephanie Smith. I'm the founder and digital matriarch at Cogwheel Marketing, where we specialize in digital marketing for branded hotels. And I think you'll find throughout this podcast, our mantra is to maximize all the tools that are available to the brand and supplement whatever is needed for that individual hotel to help increase their digital exposure. Because there's sometimes just really hard to navigate for a specific brand to understand what tools or how to execute X, or sometimes you just may not be aware. So we want to make sure we share that knowledge so that you at the hotel level can do some of these action items down at your place.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks so much. And Connor, over to you, if you wouldn't mind giving us
a intro. Thanks, Trevor. Yeah, I'm Connor van der Holm. I'm co-founder and the chief revenue officer for Topline Revenue Management. We do branded hotel revenue management across the entire portfolio of your hotels. So whatever flag you have, we can do the revenue management for you. We use advanced technology reporting and some fantastic tools and key partnerships to really drive that revenue management piece that it's often lacking through the brand services and some other independent services. We have a great team of folks that are just really enjoyable to work with. And our main focus, as the name implies, is your top line revenue.
Perfect. Brilliant. Thank you both for the introductions. That kicks us off into what we want to discuss and frames nicely why you two are here, because we're going to look at it from a digital marketing perspective, and we're going to look at it from a revenue management take on this as well. So again, just to reinforce, focus here is around the Hilton branded properties. We're going to look at three different areas. So the targeting the leisure now, what can we be doing there? What is the prep around negotiated business? And then to take advantage of the systems that we have available. So let's kick off. Let's start with targeting leisure now. So I'm going to go, Connor, as you haven't joined us before, I'm going to kind of fire over to you first from a revenue management take, and then I'm going to come back to Stephanie because there's a bunch of technology in there that I want to make sure we cover off as well.
Absolutely. All right. So targeting leisure business right now, it really depends on your market. There are some markets that are much more corporate heavy, but I guess specifically we're talking about those that do have some demand for leisure business. Some of the promotions that Hilton already has in place include the Essential Traveler, which is kind of that 1 to 3 night lead time. So now through the next 3 days, You can get up to a 15% off off of bar just by booking through Essential Traveler. You have the option to turn that on or off depending on your market. Same thing with the Dreamaway promotion. This one kind of targets bookings that are 5+ days of lead time. So somebody booking for next week, they are able to get up to 20% off bar booking through the Dreamaway promotion if they're Hilton Honors member, right? Yeah. So you can see how there's a lot of uses for these two, you know, just kind of based on your individual market, whether you have a really short booking window, or if you're fortunate enough to have some folks that actually want to book further in advance, which is kind of a rare thing these days, right? So those are the ones that Hilton's already has in play, and they should have set those up for your systems. But you can turn them off.
These are done automatically. These would be set up all ready to go. I should be able to see that.
Yep, exactly. And it's really just a piece. The idea is the strategy piece. So what's actually going to work for your hotel? Turning them on or off, and there's a couple tweaks you can make to them. But outside of this, this is actually, I find, a really interesting time, because typically revenue managers don't necessarily recommend a ton of packages or even exploring the creation of a lot of packages, because frankly, a lot of them just don't work. Mm-hmm. But this has been a really interesting time, because we find that there's a lot of local businesses. Maybe it's a restaurant that's also struggling. Maybe it's a winery. Maybe it's a small business that does hot air balloon rides or go-karts. It could be a lot of different things. And they're all struggling for business too. So what a great opportunity for a DOS or a general manager who has some time on their hands to reach out to these local companies, develop relationships with them, and form packages, which actually during this time I've seen be really beneficial, because people know that businesses are struggling and they really want to support their community. So yeah, if you can get
goodwill, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a ton. And there's a lot of goodwill just all around. And so if you're able to form these strong partnerships now with your locality, and then offer these packages, I'm seeing people pick up, you know, hot air balloon rides and go-karts and wine and dine packages. So there's a ton of things you can really look at. And I would really encourage you to do that.
And that's, as you say, that's working with local businesses that are, so it's not just targeting local guests, because we all talk about local business. I mean, that would obviously be a target area, but also looking at collaborating, working with local businesses that are offering this to put those packages together.
Mm-hmm, exactly. There's, especially during the holiday season, a lot of people are traveling, you know, to see loved ones, and maybe they don't want to spend 4 days just hanging out in the living room with their, you know, in-laws. So maybe they want to take advantage of some of these, go see, they're in a new place or place they visited many times, but they've never taken advantage of a local restaurant that has 5 stars, or again, something like a fun park or something like that. So
that makes sense. Stephanie, you were going to say something
about that. I was going to say, from a marketing standpoint, you know, I'm all about the packages too, but I think there's a kind of an amplification that you can do with your packages. So once you work with your revenue manager to build those packages, how can you use that to get in front of potential travelers and then, you know, perhaps steal market share? Because I think that's the other thing in this. There are some markets out there, unfortunately, just due to new lockdown restrictions and things like that, they just don't have the demand. Mm-hmm. So from a marketing standpoint, we can rarely create demand. We're just looking at shift it from the, you know, from the comp set. So when you have those great packages, especially the experiential ones, like Connor was mentioning, take those packages once they're built, send it over to your CVB, ask them to put it on their website and social media. You can also load it on TripAdvisor so you get some exposure there. Obviously loaded on your own social media pages. And there's even state tourism websites. So outside of your local CVB, you know, your, you know, Visit California website, Visit Colorado site, those statewide ones will also help you promote that. So trying to leverage those packages to get in front of audiences that may not have considered you before.
Yeah, that makes good sense. I know there's a number of other areas on the marketing side. So you kind of picked up on the packaging piece there, and we'll kind of move across into that. Unless there's anything else, and just picking up on your earlier statement there, Connor, around the Dream Away, around the Essential Traveler, you know, if you're a Hilton Honors, I mean, I'm talking here from someone that hasn't worked in a Hilton property, so I don't know, you know, I'm assuming that everybody knows how these things are configured, where to find them, what to do with them. But I also, on the same side, I don't want to just assume that it is straightforward. Can you just, if there's any pointers or any kind of quick tips to say, if you want to take advantage or if you want to look about this, do X, Y, and Z, that would be useful.
Yeah, so if you don't know about these promotions and maybe your revenue manager is not working for you full time, and you just need, the general manager needs some information on this, or, you know, on property teams, you can go to the lobby and you can go and just search for Dream Away promotion, Essential Travelers. It'll populate with a job aid, and you can go through the job aid. Hilton's very good about their job aids, walking you through everything you need to do in order to set this up. And then as far as like actually building the package, your revenue manager really should be the one doing that. And it'll be done through R&I. And so they'll know what that is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. So, Stephanie, marketing, you've also put some points together onto, as you say, sort of picking up from what you're talking about there in terms of getting those packages out there. But I know there's a couple of bits of technology that also need to be leveraged that's available that you can talk to on that for us, please.
Yeah, so Hilton's put a lot of effort into building out their relationship with Cody through the Amplify and Elevate platforms. And it's a little confusing because they have Advance and Amplify. So Advance is something that you're automatically opted into that covers kind of your brand side of the marketing things. And then Amplify is something that a hotel can take their additional funds and load in to get additional exposure. So when you think about Amplify, there's a couple of different channels within Amplify. So you can run meta search campaigns above and beyond what the brand does. You can run display campaigns. They actually have social media ads. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be rolling out here shortly. So depending on, you know, what's going on at your hotel, what segments, you know, where are your opportunities, or looking at your, you know, where do you lack the exposure, Amplify can help with that. Within that same Cody platform that Hilton has worked to build out is the Elevate platform. So if you've ever heard of Expedia Travel Ads, Elevate's the exact same thing, except it's built within this platform. So it's kind of a more of a one-stop shop for hotels. You know, the benefit is that, you know, there were points within COVID that if you loaded any funds into Elevate, they were doing like a 20 to 25% match. You're kind of getting free money if you had the money to spend at that time.
All right. Is that still there that you're aware of, or is that was just
as far as I know, it's not on right now. Right. But the, you know, the ease of billing and things like that do make it a little bit, they make it pretty seamless for hotels to load funds and then kind of switch money back and forth within that platform.
So you've got Advance, Amplify, and Elevate.
Yes.
Okay. And again, in the same way that I asked Connor, these are standard pieces of technology that any GM, any marketer, assuming the marketing individual is in there working, they will know about these things. They will know how to get to them. They will know how to use them. They will be fully cognizant of them. Is that a fair statement?
Probably not. The just like Connor said, the lobby is going to be your best resources for learning about that. With the Advanced side of things, that's just a, you know, commission-based model where you pay on your consumed revenue, and it kind of goes back into the digital cycle. So you don't really have any control over opting in or opting out of Advanced. But for Amplify and Elevate, with Hilton, unless you have a fairly large portfolio, you don't get an account manager. So it's a very self-serve model. There are, again, some good job aids around the lobby, so you can understand, you know, how and loading the funds. The other nice thing, if you do choose to do Expedia Travel Ads via Elevate, is they have an optimizer platform. So if you don't know how to manage your own Expedia Travel Ads and setting bids and running that day-to-day strategy, if you don't have someone in marketing, there is an automatic optimization button you just turn on and you kind of let the system do the work. So, you know, there's pros and cons to that, but if you don't have that marketing support, then there is that option to help with that self-service model.
No, that makes sense. And one of the areas is as well is trying to look at, you know, we're looking here at whether we've got promotions or how we're putting packages together and how we're getting the voice out there. But I guess we're also looking at the other side of the equation, which is people people looking, people that might come to our site, intent-based. So we're looking at, you know, where what's coming into our website and when they go off, and maybe from a remarketing point of view. Is there anything in and around there, particularly around this leisure piece, that's worth just highlighting?
Yeah, within the Amplify, they do have some display ads that you can run, but there are some minimums involved. So sometimes, you know, with COVID times, there is a reduction in where you have money to spend. So Hilton does have partnerships with companies like Sojourn, where you can at least do remarketing for your hotel and do intent-based display ads. That basically means that, you know, they use algorithms and then data from other data providers that try to find people that are actually more likely to travel. So there's going to be, you don't want to be targeting people that, you know, either for whatever reason aren't comfortable traveling right now. So you want to make sure you're spending your money in the right place, and that intent-based travel display ads, it might be a good place to help get exposure. I think the other thing, it's hard for hotels, you know, Connor, I know hotels love their star report, but I feel like the comp sets are too narrowly defined right now. And I feel like the competition right now is a lot flatter. So if you're a full service hotel, but you don't have any of your amenities, you in essence are competing with select service hotels. So that competition, that comp set that you may have had pre-pandemic is much, much, much larger than it was before.
Yeah, can you just talk to that, Connor? That seems like a good
point. I was going to say you're exactly right. And what we're finding is a lot of the star comp sets that we're looking at and comparing ourselves to, just that a lot of them are closed down or have closed down during this time. So the whole star comp set right now is just it's almost a wash in a lot of regards, because exactly to Stephanie's point, like, I find some of our select service hotels are competing with full service hotels that aren't offering the amenities. But to make a switch in your star report comp set is very difficult, and there's a lot of steps behind it. It's not as easy as clicking a button and all of a sudden my star comp set has changed. So you really have to, just when you're forming your strategies and looking at the star report, dig a little bit deeper and understand that, okay, well, two of my five or six competitors just aren't reporting, or I know that they're down to like 10% occupancy or whatever it may be. And just keep that in the back of your mind whenever you're talking strategy with your hotels.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Anything else around the targeting the leisure piece at the moment? I mean, there's quite a lot of there just in that last for me to think. Yeah, I better go sit down and write some notes and go and dive into, what do you call it, the lobby? That's, you've referred to that a few times. That's obviously the central place you go to on the Hilton tech platform, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, for Hilton hotels and employees, that's where they go to find. It's the central hub. Okay. If you asked if there's anything else, I would add just one small little bit. Revenge travel. We've heard that term a few times.
Yeah,
that is a thing. There is a lot of people with a lot of pent up, desire to get out and travel. And you'll usually see that mostly on weekends at this point. That's just, take that into consideration. A lot of people are dying to get out. So offer them something good and they'll come.
One of the other topics we kind of highlighted worth looking at is kind of preparing for negotiated business. So who wants to, Stephanie, do you want to, is there something to pick up around that area?
Yeah, I mean, wishful thinking, I can't predict the future, but you know, I think that for a lot of hotels pre-pandemic, that was their bread and butter, depending on where their location was. So while it might not be coming, and it's the same thing with, you know, just in terms of any preparation, if you wait to prepare for that BT type business to come back, mm-hmm. and you wait until it's actually back, you're probably too late. So you need to be planning even now. I mean, we've already went past through RFP season and things like that, which I think has been a challenge for a lot of hotels. But as what we've been doing with a lot of the hotels to try to help the sales teams most of the sales teams are much substantially smaller than they were before, is trying to work and do some newsletter style communication. So there are, you know, you don't have the same restrictions with B2B email marketing as you do with B2C within Hilton. So, you know, getting out newsletters, and back to Connor's point about, you know, leaning into the locality and the community, like, how can you communicate what's going on in your market that, you know, that are feel good stories. Because if all you're going to do is send a bunch of people some group offers and throw them in their face, or, you know, any type of just, you know, stay by this date and get X, like, it's not, probably not being very well received right now. So just leaning into the humanization of that, so that hopefully when they are ready, whether it's, you know, if your BT account's ready to come back or your group, anything like that, you want them to have a positive memory back here about, mm-hmm. like, we just did a newsletter, you know, what are you thankful for at Thanksgiving? One of our sales teams had just got engaged. One just had a baby. So we were really leaning into, you know, the stuff that people like to talk about right
yeah.
now
yeah.
Versus, hurry up and book a holiday party by the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think it is, there has to be that shift, don't they? I mean, it's written about, many people give suggestions and ideas. There's plenty of articles out there, but unless you move from just, okay, how do we communicate with that business previously into, okay, how do I create a different story, but that enables me to connect with them, let them know we're still around, let them know we're open for business. I think your point about you can't wait for the business to arrive because someone else has already been in contact with that business, already identified that they are going to be doing something and probably started to try and sew it up early. And you're already behind the curve. So I think the creativeness around the content that you push out is quite key. How does that tie in, Connor, from a revenue management piece?
Yeah, Stephanie's exactly right, and I'll just piggyback off what she's saying. You can't wait. You can't wait until end of quarter two next year before you start thinking about your corporate travelers returning. You just can't. And I think this is where a really good director of sales on property has an amazing opportunity to make a difference at their property, not just for the year to come, but for future years. What I would recommend doing from a revenue management standpoint, and this would be done again in conjunction with your sales efforts, get with your director of sales, get with your general manager and your revenue manager, get them all together, pull a list of your top 20 accounts from 2019. So just skip 2020. It's a terrible year. Just go back to 2019, pull your top 20 accounts for Hilton Properties. There's a good key hotel marketing report you can pull. You can get some stuff out of Cognos, or if you use other reporting like we do, it's really simple to get that list. And then what you need to start doing is reaching out to these corporations to get a pulse check on when they expect a return of travel from their employees. And then also really start wheeling and dealing when it comes to giving them negotiated rates, stuff that's going to be very favorable for both them and your hotel, so that it's a no-brainer when they start traveling again, they're going to your hotel. And there's a lot of ways to do this. So one of the ways that you can get some of this corporate business, and perhaps you've exhausted your top 20 accounts, and now you're looking at other corporations that you haven't gotten share from before. You can reach out to them, and there's different promotions through Hilton's market that you can again find through the lobby, such as business to business corporate fast track, where you can say, hey, I know that your company, it sounds like you're a Marriott Bonvoy rewards corporation. You really like that. Great. Awesome. We think you're really going to love our product. And what we'll actually do is match your reward status just right out the gate. So if you were at this tier, you know, an executive tier with Marriott, we can match that at Hilton and really give you a boost. So it makes it easy because people don't want to lose their points. It's a huge incentive. Aside from just doing a match, there's a fast track where you can upgrade their status, go from silver to gold and diamond just really quickly. And that's just to gain additional corporate business that you haven't had in the past. And then again, going back to it, your top 20 accounts, you need to know what they're thinking. And when those RFPs do come through, which if you don't know what an RFP is, it's a request for proposal. Then I would recommend considering a dynamic pricing, which is a percentage off of your bar rate versus a fixed rate, at least for the first two quarters. I would recommend doing negotiating by quarter, because we're hoping that instead of taking a whole year and getting them a fixed rate, We're hoping that demand will start coming back towards the beginning of summer. And if that's the case, you don't want to miss all that opportunity. So if you can get a percentage, get them a dynamic rate, that's going to be very beneficial. Negotiate by quarter. And then the third thing is NLRA status, which is non-last room availability. So if you do see demand take off in the summertime or in the fall, you're not stuck giving a low rate, no matter, you know, how many rooms you have left. You want the system to be able to yield out those lower rates. So those are the tips I would give you.
I think but that's hard because so many hotels, when you're negotiating, they do not like that dynamic option very much.
No, they don't, but you can make that
dynamic. I understand why, because they can get it lower when you know, but they also have to pay the higher. But it's a hard thing, I feel like, for sales to close that on the dynamic side.
Depends on who your salesman is, right?
Yeah.
Some of my DOSs are phenomenal, and they're able to close that. But again, there's a lot of wiggle room right now. So you can use those three or four strategies in conjunction with each other, depending on your market. If a customer is going to balk at having a dynamic rate, you could give them a steeper dynamic rate, or you could give them a fixed rate for the first quarter and then say, we'll renegotiate for the second quarter. There's just a lot of ways around it.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting point, thinking about it on a quarter by quarter basis, because I mean, yeah, okay, some companies don't care. They just want the best price. But you also hope that there are some organizations out there that you're working with that recognize that as their business improves, they're in a better position to pay a little bit more. The hotels, we all know, could do with the support and help, because they've been hit incredibly hard. So to understand that the hotel is going to trade off and give you a lower rate because they want your business and require your business, but you know, in any market, that's lower than you would normally pay. And so to see an escalation quarter by quarter that goes hand in hand with your business grows, our rates can grow, would seem like a fairly equitable conversation to have. I love Stephanie's smile there. it's kind of like a, yeah, right.
Trevor, if I could just take that and run with it for a second. Last week I was in a home improvement store, and it just so happened to be talking with the general manager, and we were talking about what I do for hotels. And we got into this conversation about how he's Hilton loyal. And he sends his folks down to a different state to do their training on a pretty regular basis. And he always sends them to one specific Hilton hotel. It's just because of the simplicity of it and the loyalty that he has there. He said, I probably should look around at other rates, but I just don't. I call up the hotel and I say, hey, this is our corporate. Give us the rate that you got. And he said, I noticed recently that those rates just dropped significantly. He said, about in half from what they normally are. He said, that doesn't seem right to me, that we're all of a sudden dropping down. So what's going on? I explained kind of the situation from a revenue management standpoint. But it really is. He's got that brand loyalty, and he wants to do business with this hotel. And so all they need to do is figure out who their loyal corporations are and keep that loyalty by saying, listen, this is the position we're in. We can offer you a better rate right now, and we're happy to do that. We just want you to keep coming to us.
But I think there's a lot of people that are still kind of waiting for the old times to come back. And we need to make sure that's very clear. Like, it's never going to return. It's not going to return Q2, Q3 like it was in 2019.
We're talking years rather than quarters.
So you have to, while I appreciate looking at your top 20 past accounts, some hotels you got to, for at least for a little while, take some stuff that you may not have taken before. So looking at construction, looking, offering something to entice extended stay. Things like that, if you keep targeting who you used to target in 2019, you're going to continue not being successful. So you got to step outside of your comfort zone and maybe take some clients that you may not have taken before.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree with that for sure. I think they work hand in hand. You need to keep your loyalty from those you've had in the past and get an idea of when they're coming back, but also definitely be willing to do a little bit of hustling and get some of the business that you haven't taken before to, because it's been a lower rate than you've been willing to accept. I agree completely.
Yeah. I think two things come out of that. And I won't refer back to a separate conversation I had yesterday, but we were having a slight debate about effectiveness of commercial teams in hotels, whether it be sales, marketing, and revenue. and how much of it was actually economies growing around the world and how much of it was actually the individuals themselves driving the business. And I think what's been interesting is looking as businesses have reduced their staffing levels, there has been a kind of a clear line of evaluating, all right, well, who's those that are actually helping me to put heads in beds and who are being proactive and who's going out there and hustle and who are my creative marketeers that are coming up with some new ideas or different ways of engaging. So I think that's an interesting challenge, is looking back to your point, who do you have on there and who are they really hustling for you? I think the second point quickly, and then I'll let you guys talk, is just picking up on the fact that there is a fine balance, or I believe. Now, you guys are the hoteliers, so tell me if I'm talking absolute nonsense. But if I was a corporate business and I'm coming to your hotel, I'm still looking for the same level of service. I'm still looking for the same experience that I had. And now I'm also looking for that to be safe and clean and as COVID secure as it possibly could be. So by definition, I need to realize that hotel has to have additional costs to provide that environment to me. So on one hand, I'm thinking, well, I want to go back to that hotel because I like them and the guys looked after me. I want to go back there because they're making sure that I'm safe and secure. But hey, I want it for half the price because, man, you know, there's a lot available out there. And I don't know, that just kind of sits badly with me. Am I just being a bit naive? Anyone can comment on that.
No, if I may jump in again. No, you're not being naive. There's definitely some price sensitivity that goes into different market segments of travelers, right? And corporations like the one I had mentioned before, they're not very price sensitive. They were shocked to see that the rate was cut in half. They would have paid full price for it. And so, but a leisure traveler, going back to our first point, is going to be much more cost sensitive. And so you got to cater to those depending on your market, right? And so I think that's where some really good analysis and negotiations for corporations and stuff comes into play. But you need to know who books at your hotel, what there is that you're not getting, to Stephanie's point, what we can take from the competition, and just be very focused and targeted on your strategies.
Stephanie, what are you?
In communication, so that they don't expect that your restaurant's going to be open when it's not, or the pool or the fitness center, or so that.
And I guess that's the flip side to my point, isn't it? That, you know, they're coming to you, but there's also a realization from the hotel side. Yeah, but the facilities that you expected to have when you were paying that rate and getting that service before may not be available this time round. But that comes back to the communication piece again, that you mentioned. It's being able to articulate what they would be getting or not getting, and trying to get the balance and that price sensitivity, knowing who your corporate customers might be, and trying to have, I think so much of it seems to come down to that reaching out and having that dialogue rather than just relying, you know, you've got to get out and make that contact, back to your original point when we were talking about this. But I think there is a big onus, particularly around the sales people, to be getting out and engaging and having these conversations and talking to the corporate accounts, which I guess is happening, but I never like to assume.
Well, and this is the, go ahead, Stephanie.
I was going to say, the flip side of the communication piece, I know I talked about doing group and B2B, but Hilton does have an exclusive partnership with Clairvoyix, and they basically extract the past data from your PMS. Mm-hmm. So guests that have actually stayed at your hotel have familiarity with your hotel. These are obviously people, it's much easier to term, you know, bring somebody back that's warm and familiar with your product than someone that's never heard of it. It's a higher cost per acquisition. So, you know, leveraging systems like that, and your past individual BT travelers are going to be in that PMS, in your PMS database. So it doesn't help you much if you're a brand new hotel or recently conversion, because it is based off the history of your PMS data, and it's not going to help you with people that have, you know, stayed through Expedia or Booking.com. But in terms of those Hilton loyalists, I think it's also a good place to start.
That's a good point. Hey, Connor, you were going to...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I love having this conversation with a marketeer, because there's only so much we can, on the revenue management side, that we can do We can formulate the strategy, we can implement the strategy, but if nobody knows about it, then it doesn't matter, right? Tree falls in the forest. And so that's why marketing and revenue management should work closer. And I find that there's, over the years, there's been a massive gap between the two. We just don't work together very well. The, you know, depending on your brand services, we might shoot an email over to the marketing people and say, hey, this is what I want done. But there's really not a good amount of collaboration and that you get just the way things are right now. So I definitely recommend considering the fact that marketing folks that do the digital space are so crucial to your revenue management strategy. Like, definitely lean on them and get their advice and expertise, because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing when it comes to getting the word out. We simply don't.
Well, it goes both ways. Sometimes we, on the marketing side, have trouble honing in on, you know, what type of business is out there. You know, where a revenue or salesperson may dive more into agency or demand 360 and say, okay, this is a segment that we're lacking. It should be the sales and revenue management team that come to marketing and say, hey, you know, we see that XYZ is happening at our comp set, or we're not getting our fair share of X. What can we do to get in front of these people so that we have a chance to compete for that business?
You touched on something there, which was demand 360. And one of the things I wanted to, I think we've covered the negotiated business quite a bit. And one of the areas we then wanted to look at is, okay, so what, if we've spoken about the targeting, we've spoken about the packages, we've spoken about the right price strategies, we've spoken about getting the messaging out there, we spoke with engaging the right people, there are tools that can help us to achieve that. There are tools that exist within the Hilton framework. So I'd just like to kind of lean in a little bit into some of the systems that are available that could be used. As you mentioned, Demand 360, does that work across, I mean, you mentioned it, Stephanie, does that work across the digital and the revenue management space? Are you both using that information, or is it kind of one uses it more than the other? Back to this competing between departments.
Well, the so this isn't a Hilton system.
No.
To clarify, so this is a
TravelClick
system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we use it from time to time, because I think as we have been having more conversations, just because of the pandemic, like, we can't, from a marketing standpoint, like, ROI and ROAS aren't as important as it used to be, and you know, we're trying to shift the mentality about back to the, you know, scaling market share. We're looking more, you know, are we beating the comp set in terms of transient mix and things like that? So then being able to look within those, you know, Demand 360 and see, are we getting more share from Expedia? Are we getting more share from brand.com? Things like that, I think, are more important now in terms of like what you can take to the bank, what actually is happening in your market. No, but Connor, you probably use the system a little more than we do.
I was going to say, maybe it sits more on the revenue side as well.
Yeah, so depending on whether the hotel has purchased this product or not from TravelClick, since it is a third party, they certainly can on a Hilton platform. And a lot of those that do purchase it find a great value in it. There's my plug for TravelClick. Work with me, guys. So with Demand 360, it's a fantastic tool that I've used when I worked with Ambridge Corporate, for instance, that we're able to see where the demand is coming from, future looking. So what your comp set is getting as far as which segments, and then able to kind of figure out what those corporations that you're not getting. Agency 360 is another one from TravelClick that works similarly, but it's more focused on, you know, which corporations are in your market, and, you know, how you can identify those. So going back to our earlier piece about identifying new business, that corporate business that you haven't had before, that's a great tool for that. It's all about being proactive. These systems are all about being proactive. You need to look at what's in the future, and then plan for that instead of being reactive, just looking at the star report and looking at what actualized, and then saying, oh, well, maybe in the future we could do this. You're missing months at a time. You really need to be looking 90 days out. In addition to that, there's some other platforms or companies. OTA Insight has some really good rate shopping, and some other, you know, Market Vision. There's a lot of good options for you. So I guess that's all I would have to say about Demand 360.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And from a marketing point of view, from a digital marketing point of view, what would be some of the core pieces of tech that may not be Hilton proprietary, so to speak, and that that they should be looking at?
Well, I guess you want to maximize your brand systems first. So on the Hilton side, you know, making sure that you're familiar with Content Gateway and PIM. I think every GM probably knows what PIM is, but I think what we've found a lot of hotels are just assuming, okay, you know, maybe next month things will be better. So they weren't really taking a look at their marketing and positioning. So if you're, you know, a big group hotel, or you're talking a lot about your meeting space all over your website, is that really the right content? So going into PIM, updating your what you do and don't have, going into Hilton does have some restrictions. They really like that alert, and they don't want you to change a lot of your core amenities and things like that. I feel that's a little short-sighted because, yeah, in the beginning we all thought this is going to be 2 weeks, but unfortunately I don't really see an immediate end in sight. We need to make sure we're communicating clearly to guests what we do and don't have on the property. So leveraging Content Gateway within the lobby and also PIM to make sure that's as clean as possible.
And you said people be familiar with PIM. Content Gateway, again, just very quickly, is?
Content Gateway is how you would update the content on your One Hero Web website. So it's just a ticketed platform for the CMS, for the content management system for Hilton.com.
Okay.
And then PIM, I don't know, Connor, how do you describe PIM?
I wouldn't describe PIM. I leave that to you.
maybe we'll move on for PIM. Go on quickly.
No, I mean, PIM has, it's just all the information. PIM's going to push out the content, you know, about the different amenities and things like that out to these other sources. Content Gateway is specifically related to your Hilton brand site, and PIM is that core that pushes out to other places.
I've got you. Now, when we were chatting about this, you mentioned something called Apply for Sprinklr, and
yeah, so
I'm like, okay, I'm sure we're not talking about kind of adding these metal things in our roof that save us from fires. So what is Sprinklr?
We haven't talked very much about social media today, and that's probably a whole podcast in and of itself.
Absolutely.
But if you are, you know, in terms of going back to the discussion we've had about leaning into your community and locality, you know, social media is a great place to do that and gain some traction. It's also a great place to really target leisure travel. It's a great place to find, you know, to run ads, to target weddings. We're getting ready to come into engagement season, right? Mm-hmm. But outside of that, if you are a hotel that you find that you're doing the social media on property, or you're just not having a lot of time, there are, Hilton does offer access to Sprinklr, which is a social media platform that can help you manage your content and things like that when it comes to doing postings. Okay. So there are a couple of iterations you have to go through. Like, you have to have a social media kind of point of contact basically for your hotel. Someone has to be assigned that in the system, and there's some other, you know, trainings and things. But if you meet that criteria, I think one of the other criteria is you've regularly been posting for the last X amount of time. Once you can prove a couple of different things, you can get access to Sprinklr for free, which is usually a cost, you know, cost-based platform.
Very useful. And one thing I just wanted to ask, Connor, I don't know whether this would sit more on your side or Stephanie's side. It doesn't really matter. You can both talk to it. But I picked up recently, there's been this big push towards kind of hotels as workspaces, and people being able to use it to get out of the home and use the hotel room. Yeah. I've read that a couple of the big brands are doing that. I'm assuming Hilton are following along that kind of route. Do they have anything built in there that hotels could be doing?
Yeah, it's actually called workspaces. Exactly your point.
That's imaginative.
So Hilton Workspaces, and they actually have their own website for it. It's mostly a catalog where you're able to connect with hotels based on where you're located, right? And that's exactly for that purpose of I need to work, and I'm working from home right now, and so I need a place that's a good, clean environment. Maybe they're doing web interviews and web conferencing and stuff, and they've got a bunch of screaming kids in the background like I do. It's just is a nice clean environment for them to feel like they're still going into the office and get that ability to focus.
Yeah.
For hotels, it's It's a great option for your day use room. So it's essentially you set the hours between, you know, 7 and 4, 7 to 5, whenever is good for your hotel. And then they're able to book those rooms at a significant discount through Workspaces. I think it's set at a 35% discount off bar. Okay. And because they're not staying the night, there's not a whole lot of upkeep that usually has to happen with that. They're not using the shower, those sort of things, although they can. And with that, hotels are actually able to package it and add additional amenities to it as they so choose. So maybe they want to give them breakfast. Maybe they want to give them access to the gym. Those are certainly encouraged by Hilton.
That makes sense. And how does that fit in with the on the digital marketing, from the digital marketing?
Well, I was going to ask Connor, I'd be curious to see the performance for some of your hotels on that.
I'm not gonna dog on Hilton right now. I'm not gonna dog on their promotions.
But it's not a Hilton thing. I'm just saying in general, whatever the hotel, we have not found a lot of success. Because how many companies are like, okay, we're saving all this money on travel. Let go and spend it at a hotel every day. I mean, I wish I saw better production from these. We have tried to market it, you know, within a local community. And we do pick up, and this is brand agnostic. You know, we do see a pickup here and there, but for the amount of effort I think the brands have put behind it, it hasn't performed as well as I would have liked, unfortunately. So it isn't some golden ticket that's out there. I personally do not think it's a golden ticket.
I would agree with Stephanie that I have not seen any production from it yet. Not to say that there aren't some markets that would. I used to manage a lot of hotels in Silicon Valley that might find a little bit more use for it than, say, something in Minnesota. Just be cognizant of the fact that you probably want to dip your toes in before you start, you know, funding advertising for it.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's one of those things that seems like a logical idea, but it's funny, you're not the only ones that I've spoken to about it who have said, yeah, I'm not really seeing a lot coming through. It's not really resonating much.
If it was 75% off bar, then we might be in business. But
as you say, you still got to get people that have got their ears open to it, though, haven't you? So
yeah,
you know,
people
just aren't buying it. On that point, is there, back from a digital marketing point of view, is there anything that, if I'm sitting there in a Hilton property, I've kind of listened to this, you've got my mind going with ideas and putting some campaigns together, getting myself out there. How do I track? Is there something that Hilton has that enables me to track what's actually happening? Do I have to look kind of external for some tech to do that?
Well, the you know, as traditional marketers that don't know the hotel industry, they think it's easy that they can drop a cookie on your website and track everything. Well, there's no way that you're, you know, whether you're Hilton or Marriott, that you're going to drop your own cookies onto their website. So you really have to leverage the platforms that they have. And for Hilton, and even related back to the package discussion, I'm really, Hilton people, if you're listening, I'm really hoping we can move along the way that packages are displayed on the website. But so what we've been doing, if we're running social media campaigns or any third party campaigns, we get with the hotels to get MCID tracking links. So it's basically you provide them with the URL and they append some tracking to that URL so you can at least get some ROI. So if it's something like DreamAway that you probably are getting revenue from a lot of different sources, you can at least leverage the tracking through your particular source. The only problem being that it's last click attribution. So, you know, for, you know, display campaigns, that might not make a lot of sense because a lot of the value in display is how many times the reoccurring views that they might see that ad. They may not necessarily stop what they're doing to make that transaction. And even to a degree, that's the same with social media as well. So it's a great tool. You know, it's just last click attribution based.
Okay, perfect. Very useful. Guys, I'm very conscious of time, but that has absolutely flown by. So I'm hoping anyone that listens to this also finds it as enjoyable and picks up a lot of tips and advice and things to go and do. But just, you know, in wrapping up, the floor is yours. If there's any final comments or anything that you've been sitting there thinking, I must remember to say that, it triggered an idea that we haven't touched on yet. Any final thoughts, either of you?
I would say from a marketing standpoint, again, referencing the lobby, there's some great job aids that actually break out. If you have paid marketing, there's a couple of different grids that say, okay, you know, here's all the different options that basically lists out all the different channels that you can run through Amplify and Elevate. So, you know, if you are dipping your toes back in the water in terms of paid spend, you're not obviously going to have enough money to cover all the different options. So talk with your revenue management and sales teams and say, okay, where's the opportunity now? And then make a tiered plan. So what's your plan right now to get you, you know, maybe through the end of the year? And then going back to Connor's point, you know, maybe you have a tiered approach where, you know, as we start to see X come back, start putting funds here so that, you know, you can have a strategic plan in place and not be scrambling at the last minute when the vaccine gets distributed to your specific area or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. Connor, any final?
Yeah, I would just say, I mean, Stephanie hit a lot of the points. There's a Hilton recovery job aid toolkit. As well.
Yeah,
exactly, the toolkit. So go look at that. You can find it through the lobby, I'm sure. And it does lay out a lot of different stuff you can do, different promotions, et cetera. And then I would agree completely. You need to have a plan, and you need to write it down, and you need to follow up on it, and work with your revenue manager on, say, hey, this is what we really want to target. What can you do? You know, what can we do to get this specific type of business back? And looking long term, frankly, there's a lot of time on people's hands in some of these corporate positions. There's not a whole lot going on. There's not a lot of rate changes and stuff to be made, but there can be. And so this is a great opportunity to put Facebook down and start working. just start going after it. Figure out that plan and get after it.
That's brilliant. Super. Guys, great to have you join us. Great to have the conversation. I think there's some really great tips and advice in there. Again, once more, thanks for coming on board. Great to have the chance to talk with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Trevor.
So that's the end of our conversation today. I'd like to thank Stephanie and Connor for joining us, and I hope you found the conversation interesting. Feel free to get in touch with us if you have any questions. We're always interested in your thoughts, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. You can reach us via our socials or via email insights@revenue-hub.com. That's INSIGHTS, insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you can subscribe on YouTube, that would be great, because it really helps us. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.